Blog Talk Radio.
This is for fair money.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it. No, no more. Got a story, and it's time to tell. Cause I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me your microphone or a megaphone or a telephone. You're gonna clap your hands, gonna wanna dance.
And welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. Cause it's a new season, it's a new day, yeah, resting on you. I can feel it, it's flowing my way, oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season,
it's a new day.
Good evening. Praise God. Good evening to everyone, and thank you all for joining us this evening. We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst, and we thank God for you tuning in to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We count it a joy and a privilege to be able to join with you in the study of God's all-powerful and all-sustaining, unfailing and holy word. We're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Praise God. We'd like to welcome in the presence of the Lord with a song of praise. And so join with me as we celebrate and lift up the name of our Most High God, along with Charles Jenkins, who is declaring that my God, our God, your God is and be blessed.
Come on, everybody, let's give God this worship. If you know he's awesome, come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Come on, say it, hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
That's it. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on, heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Where I've been weakened.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, you got it. My God is awesome.
My God is
come on,
awesome.
Say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. One word. Come on, everybody. My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, somebody lift your voice. You know he's been good to you. Testify.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. My God.
My God.
Verse 2. Savior of the whole world.
Savior of the whole.
Giver of salvation.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes.
By his stripes.
I'm healed. Yeah. My God is awesome.
My God is
listen. Today I am forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why
grace
I'm living.
Why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on, you say, my God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, awesome.
Awesome.
The Lord has brought you from.
Awesome.
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 Let's talk about why he's awesome. You say, he's mighty.
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 Awesome.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice and celebrate.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, you say, he's holy.
He's holy.
Thank you, Lord, for getting the comfort in our hearts, Father, Lord, and give us peace of mind. just thank you for your guiding, your direction, Father, each and every day, Father. Thank you for you for all the things you continue to do for us, Lord, from day to day, Lord. We thank God for his blessing through your holy word, through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just thank God for all his blessing in our life, his benefits, Lord, his favor, Lord. Thank God for his ability to keep us strong when we are weak, to make us be stronger than what we are, Father, Lord. Thank God his grace is sufficient when he is strong, Lord. We just thank God for his greatness in our life and his greatness for you and for I, Lord, from day to day. Lord, just have your way on tonight, Father, and bring forth your word, Lord. Bring for clarity, Lord. Bring the power and might to glory to the glory of God, Lord. Just pray be a blessing to someone, Lord, on tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We give God all the glory because truly, yes, he is. He is. He is. He is an awesome God. Oh, yes, he is. Well, thank you again for tuning in tonight. God has put a word in my heart and my spirit that I'd like to share with you. And if you have your Bibles and pens and paper, you can go ahead and get prepared, hopefully, to be able to take some notes. Thank you. And as we go to the throne of grace in prayer, just to cover this word, bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just give you all the praise and honor and glory, Lord, for being able to stand tonight to share your holy and your anointed word, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that you remove all of me, Lord God, and grace me, Lord God, when anoint me with your Holy Spirit to be able to speak forth your word with clarity, with boldness, with courage, with understanding. Yes, Lord, without reservation, without hesitation, Father, that it will be able to be grace to the hearers. And allow your word, Father, as you said, to go forth and not return void. But you know who needs to hear it. You know, Lord God, what it is to accomplish. So, Lord, allow it to accomplish that for which it has been sent, and we will be certain to give you all the glory and honor and praise. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight I want to speak with you from a topic, matters of a grateful heart. Matters of a grateful heart. And our scripture reference is actually two. One from Proverbs chapter 4 and 23 that says, keep thy heart with all diligence of life. And the scripture number two is from Psalms 100, verse 4, that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Hallelujah. Let's first begin by talking about some facts about the human heart. Did you know that the heart is indeed one of the most vital organs human body? It is the control center of our being. It acts like a dual chambered pump that circulates blood and provides the body with oxygen and nutrients it needs to survive. The systematic function of our physical heart is vital to our physical life. Similarly, and even more importantly, the uprightness of our spiritual heart is vital to our daily life, both now and for eternity. The human heart has four chambers containing two ventricles that pump about 11,000 quarts of blood per day and an average of 265 million quarts in a lifetime. 115,200 beats per day. 42 million beats per year, billion heartbeats, if you live to be 72 years old. That's facts about the human heart. Well, tonight I want to talk with you about three aspects of the heart. The first is the haughtiness. The haughtiness of man's heart. The holiness of God's heart, and the humbleness, three aspects of the heart. One, the haughtiness of man's heart, the holiness of God's heart, and the humbleness of the servant's heart. I'm laying the foundation to eventually elaborate on our topic, which is matters of a grateful heart. But first, let's talk about the haughtiness, H-A-U-G-H-T-I-N-E-S, the haughtiness of man's heart. Haughtiness is defined as the appearance or quality of being arrogantly superior and disdainful. Some synonyms for haughtiness include arrogance, pride, conceit, disdain, self-importance, egotism. Why is man's heart haughty? What does God's word say about the heart of man? I'm glad you asked that question. In the book of Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of God's creation, Genesis 6, verse 5, in the New King James Version, it talks about what God viewed as the condition of man's heart. And it said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When Adam sinned, there began the evil intent of man's heart. Man's evil intents are not generated from the mind, but they originate in the heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you have your Bibles, turn with me 21 through 23. And I'm quoting this from the New King James Version. It says, From within, out of the heart of men, not out of the mind, mind you. It says, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. One of the synonyms for defile is to profane. And profane is that which is related to or devoted to that which is not sacred or biblical. Therefore, this tells me of man's heart is in direct opposition to that which is in the Bible. The sinful state of man's heart is in direct opposition to the Word of God. We're talking about the hardiness of man's heart. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to Timothy, and he says, in the New Living Translation, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, listen closely, listening audience, there will be very difficult times. Remember, we're still talking about the hardiness of a man's heart. For people will love only themselves and their money. This is the New Living Translation. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Now, mind you, this is 2 Timothy, and this is the New Testament. But remember that we just read in Genesis chapter 6 in the Old Testament that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Then here's Peter talking to Timothy, telling him that in the latter days, in the last days, this same state would be the state and condition of man's heart. And guess what? So that we can see this. We can see this even now within our society. So when you turn on your evening news and you hear of robberies and murders and hate crimes and school shootings, etc., know that these are all matters that reflect the sinful and defiled nature of the human heart. If neglecting our physical heart can be detrimental to our physical bodies, how much more can neglecting our spiritual heart be detrimental to our spiritual well-being? I'm going to repeat that again. If neglecting our physical heart, because you know if you don't take physical heart, it can result in all types of physical ailments, all types of diseases, heart disease and high blood pressure and a variety of different diseases that can be connected with neglecting our physical heart and well-being. If neglecting our physical heart can be detrimental to our physical body, then how much more can neglecting our spiritual heart be detrimental to our spiritual well-being? I hear the Holy Spirit sending out a call to God's people, asking them to do a checkup. Check not only the condition of your physical heart, but more importantly, monitor the condition of your spiritual heart. How do you know if your spiritual heart is in good condition? How do you know if your spiritual heart is in optimal spiritual health? Well, I'm glad you asked. A few conditions that symptomatic of a heart that's in good condition is that a heart in good spiritual condition will, as Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, the heart that's in spiritual good spiritual condition will love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. But this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened unto it, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. So first of all, that heart that is in good spiritual condition will exuberate the love of God. One whose heart is in good spiritual condition? Well, as David said in reference to God in Psalm 119:11, he said, he will hide thy word in thy heart. He will hide the word of God in thy heart. He said, I will hide thy word in my heart. I might not sin against you. A heart that is in good spiritual condition will reflect the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, a heart that is in good kingdom of God focused, doing the will of God. And as Jesus said, when we have a heart that is in good spiritual health, we want to be about our Father's business. Oh, yes, we do. But yet a heart that is in good spiritual condition, it does not just happen. It does not just evolve. It does not just manifest. In order to do a good work for the Lord, you must allow God to come into your heart and to do what the best cardiologist nor the best heart surgeon can. Oh, you must allow God, who is the great physician, Almighty God, to perform heart surgery and do what only he can. God is the only one who can, as David said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. 1 Samuel 10:9 provides the example of how God gave Saul a new heart. God had to work on Saul's heart. He gave Saul a new heart after Samuel anointed Saul king over Israel. But later in chapter 15:23, Saul began to disobey God. Disobedience to the word of God and disobedience to the will of God is the first sign of one of the first signs and symptoms of a spiritual heart issue. And when Saul began to disobey God and become, he began to rebel. And guess what began to creep in? Pride. Pride began to creep in. That's another symptom of an issue of a spiritual heart problem. Pride. That's one of the biggest issues. Remember, that was the issue that Satan himself had. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. And in this chapter, the Bible talks about how Saul had an issue with pride. Saul began to reverence the voice of people instead of obey the commands of God. Warning, warning, warning. Be very mindful, especially in these last days, that when God has given you a work to do, even when he has anointed you and assigned you a purpose, gifted you for his glory, be mindful that you obey the voice of God and not succumb as many ministries and as many pastors and as many of those that God has called. They have succumbed to the desires of man. They have begun to compromise the word of God. Again, another symptom of a spiritual heart issue. Be mindful that you obey the voice of God and not succumb to the desires of man. In verse 26, Saul rejected the word of the Lord. Because, see, once pride begins to creep in, then the enemy begins to tell you that you are the one that is in control, not Almighty God. So then Saul, he began to reject the word of God. And then when he began to reject the word of God, the Lord rejected Saul. He rejected Saul from being king over Israel. King is where God called Samuel to make a trip to the house of Jesse because he found one there that he wanted to anoint who obeyed God, who obeyed the voice of God, who obeyed God's word, who obeyed God's will. And this one would later become the king over Israel. And that was none other than David. And David was referred to as a man, what? After God's own heart. Oh, yes, praise God. When you have a heart for the things of God, as a man after God's own heart, this leads us to the second aspect of the heart. That is the holiness of God's heart. The holiness of God's heart. God's heart is an anthropomorphic phrase. An anthropomorphic phrase. What do you mean by anthropomorphic phrase? That means that anthropomorphism is a term where the human characteristics are to God in order to help us as human better understand his character. Because we know that God is not made of human flesh. God is a spirit. As the scripture in John 4:12 talks about, it says that we who worship God, we must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. The Hebrew word for holiness is kodesh, a word that highlights the realm of the sacred in contrast to everything that is common, in contrast to everything that is profane. God, holiness means to be set apart. The term holy describes God's overwhelming goodness. He's an awesome God. He describes God's overwhelming power. God is holy, and holy is who he is. Oh, yes, God, our God is a holy God. We are created in the image of God, Genesis 1:27 tells us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and when we ask him into our hearts, he immediately sets up residence on the inside of us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you turn to Ephesians 3:14-17, tells us that Jesus Christ, he dwells in our hearts. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell where? In your hearts. That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Remember we talked about in the beginning of the message how one of the symptoms and one of the characteristics of a spiritual heart in good condition, great optimal condition, it exuberates and shows forth the God. The word of God even tells us, and you will know that they are Christians. They belong to me. Why? Because of their love. If you find somebody, child of God, that professes to be a Christian and they don't exuberate love, you better check them again. You need to look at that person twice to be able to determine, are you dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing? It says, and when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, yes, he comes in and he takes up residence in this physical temple, causing a spiritual transformation. He changes that haughty heart, that prideful heart, and turns it into a heart that's filled with the holiness of God. 5 and 17, I'm just trying to give you some word tonight to help to support this text. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? He is a new creation. Old things, that old haughty heart of man has passed away. And behold, God has given you, Jesus Christ has given us, if you are in him, a new heart. Behold, all things are become new. In any dwelling place, in your home, in any dwelling place, it is the tenant, the one that abides there, that can make all the difference. In a dwelling place, it is the tenant, all the difference. So when Jesus Christ enters in and he takes up residence, he becomes the tenant in our physical being. He becomes the tenant in our spiritual being. Then the haughty heart becomes a heart of holiness. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The heart that was once consumed with sin, it becomes a repentant heart. The heart of bitterness all becomes a heart of joy. The heart that's pride becomes a humble heart. When Jesus comes in and takes up residence, that heart that is filled with hatred and jealousy and resentment and unforgiveness, it becomes a heart of love and a heart that's able to forgive. And that heart of selfishness now becomes the heart of a servant. And that brings me to our third point, the humbleness. We're talking about the aspects of three different types of heart: the hardiness of man's heart, the holiness of God's heart, and let's elaborate on the humbleness of the servant's heart. Do you have a servant's heart tonight? Humbleness, fine. As the antonym, the direct opposite of haughtiness. Humbleness is not arrogant. No, humbleness is not prideful. The humbleness of a servant's heart is the heart that we must have. We must have. We must have. And if you are going to do a work for Jesus Christ, if you are going to do a work for Almighty God, if you are going to do a work to help to advance God's kingdom, then you must have a servant's heart. As I look back through the scriptures, I ascertain that the heart of a servant is a genetic factor for it, the servant's heart. Oh, yes, it is. It's the servant's heart that allowed Ruth, to be able to say to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1 and 16, entreat me not to leave thee, she said. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. That's the heart of a servant. It's the servant's heart that allowed Boaz to say to Ruth in Ruth 2:8, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me and watch the field where the men are harvesting it. Follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whatever you need and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled. That's the heart of a servant. It's the heart of a servant that caused Queen Esther, when the Hebrew people were to be annihilated, to tell Mordecai, I will go to the king. And though it is against the law, she said, if I perish, I perish. Because she had a heart of a servant. She had a heart to be able to want to give back, to do the will of Almighty God. It is the heart of a servant that in Matthew 1:19-21, that allowed Joseph not to make Mary a public example, but adhere to the voice of the angel when the angel said of Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In this, it is this same Jesus. Oh, yes. It is this same Jesus that said, I come to serve. I come to serve, to be served. And in Matthew 23, Jesus said, but he that is the greatest among you, listen to this, he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. This Jesus that has the heart of the greatest servant known to mankind, Philippians 2:6-7, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but this Jesus made himself of no reputation, upon him the form of a servant. Oh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He left his throne in glory. He came down to this earth in the form of human flesh, God incarnate. And he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This Jesus that has the heart, as I shared, of the greatest servant known to mankind. So much so that he laid down his life. Oh, yes, he did. He laid down his life for your sins and mine. He was resurrected, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, still serving, still serving, interceding for you and for me. Mm. And because of this, we should have the heart of a servant. For the heart of a servant is also a grateful heart. And I close with the lyrics of this song that resonates in my spirit as we are in this Thanksgiving season. What a time that we need to be able to reflect on the conditions of our heart. This song that says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. And now let the weak say that I am strong, and let the poor say that I am rich because of what our Lord has done. Give thanks. Oh, Lord, we give thanks. From a grateful heart, we give thanks. So especially in this Thanksgiving season, as we spend time in the latter part of this week on Thursday, recognizing Thanksgiving Day, and as we gather around the table and feast over our Thanksgiving meal, we should have the heart of gratefulness as we reflect on God's blessings and all that Jesus Christ has done for us. So let this Thanksgiving reflect not only on the blessings, but reflect on the giver of the blessings, our holy and almighty God, as we give him thanks with a grateful heart. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for the woman of God. Amen. Bring forth that powerful, powerful word of God. Amen. What a joy, what a blessing to be servant of a grateful heart. Do you have a grateful heart on today? Amen. Are you thankful for the blessing the Lord has done in your life? Amen. One more God went through from Old Testament all through New Testament. Amen. Through the word of God. And you talk about the heart. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Different heart condition. Amen. Praise God. Praise. We thank God for that powerful word, a powerful message on how we need it all today. Amen. What a joy, what a blessing. But also know the power of God to transform anyone's heart to desire to do so by faith. They just, all they had to do is ask, ask for it, ask seek or not. And God can change that heart to have, and they ask God, repent of the sin, receive Jesus the Lord and Savior. He can take care of that. The transformation shall begin. Amen. And we thank God for the opportunity to learn about the three conditions of the heart. Amen. Conditions of the heart. Number one is the hardiness of a
Hardness of man's heart.
To the holiness of God's heart. Number three, the humbleness of the servant heart. Amen. Do you have a servant heart on today? Praise God. We pray that it's humble, they're loving and kind, and they ask for the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We thank God for the woman of God on tonight to bring forth that powerful word. Amen. What a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're talking about matters of a grateful heart. We're going to go ahead and open up the lines. Amen. If there are those that would care to comment or share in this word and in this discussion, well, do you need to examine your heart tonight? We need to all, at every moment, always, it should be actually a daily occurrence that we examine our heart. That we make sure and look into that our spiritual heart especially is in optimal spiritual performance, praise God. But so that we can go forth and do the will of God and do the works of God. Is there one tonight? Would you press one on your dial pad if you would like to comment on this message or if you want to share in this discussion? We're talking about, again, matters of a grateful heart. Praise God. Well, we thank God. We pray in the name of Jesus that the word was a blessing to you. That, yes, that it will resonate your heart and your spirit. That you will go forth and be able to take this word and let it marinate within your heart, and especially during this Thanksgiving season, as we are to show forth our gratefulness and our thankfulness for all that God has provided. Indeed, he is a mighty and awesome and great and glorious God.
Increase your faith as well.
Amen. We have about 9 more minutes left into the program, and we will not close the program out, praise God, without allowing anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to have the opportunity to have that heart transformation. Oh, yes. Praise God. When you get to know the Lord, you will be able to have a transformed heart and a transformed spirit. So if you want to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, as guided by Romans 10:9-10, that says that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart upon the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So all you have to do is say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son and that he came to this earth, died for my sins, and was resurrected. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, take charge of my life for the rest of my life. And if you pray but that simple prayer, the word of God says that even a child can understand. If you pray for that simple prayer and you meant it with all sincerity, we welcome you into the kingdom of God tonight. You are saved. Your name has been written into the Lamb's book of life, never ever to be erased, praise God. And the angels of heaven, as are we, praise the Lord, rejoicing on your behalf. We do have a caller. Caller, your last four digits of 4, 5, 1, and 7. I would like to, in these last minutes, dispatch you into the studio. Go right ahead, please. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I really enjoyed the word. I it was like a Bible study tonight. So, I mean, you really wrote it. And yes, I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to more of these because it helps along the way. You know how you heard a story a long time ago and then you hear it again, but it's a little different and more exciting the next time. So
all right.
I just want to know I did enjoy the word, and you always do a great job, always. And so just wanted to just give you an update on, I just had my fourth chemo treatment on this past Friday. Today is Monday, and I want to let you know that I had no side effects today.
Hallelujah.
Everything was going well, and, you know, and people at work was like, I don't believe you going to chemo treatment. I think you just want Fridays off. And I was like, no. And so I just praise God. I thank God. I listen to God. I pray unto God. I worship God. I sing my songs unto God. I believe in God, and I am guided by God. And so with that discipline, because you have to be disciplined, and with that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be in the mindset. I wouldn't be in the health, you know, my health. You know, I will believe what others says about, you know, me instead of believing what God is saying about me. I am doing well. The chemo treatment is going well.
Amen.
And I just thank God, you know, I do have low energy here and there, but I know when to sit down somewhere and lie down somewhere. But outside of the norm, what you will hear, I have not as of yet, do not look forward to exceeding that. So I praise God for that. So they are going to I go for a CT scan. They're going to look to see where, if the cancer, you know, what's going on with the cancer after the fourth treatment, which was this past Friday again. And so we're going to do the CT scan, and then we'll go from there to see if I need to go from there and go talk to the surgeon. Or I'm believing that they tell me I don't even have to have chemo anymore, part of surgery. So that's what I'm trusting for.
Amen.
And I thank all of you for your prayers, for soliciting your prayers. I thank God for you. Do not stop, because it is working. It availeth much in my life, and I want to thank you. And I don't take it for granted.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Minister Lolita, we thank God for you.
Yes.
And we're going to continue to keep you lifted in our prayers because we know that we serve a miracle working God. He still heals. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so we just give God in advance praise and thanksgiving for all that he is doing and what he is going to do. Hallelujah. So, yes, we certainly will continue to keep you in our prayers. And thank you for your comments tonight.
God bless you.
Amen, and God bless you. Caller 3258. Caller 3258. Go right ahead, please.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
I want to say thank you, Pastor Constance Whitehurst, giving us such a spiritual monitoring our hearts and telling us about the hearts of men, the way that everything like is going rampant and it looked like we are upset or either amazed by it. It let us know that the Word of God tells us exactly what's going to happen in the last days. And I thank you because you broke it down so well that even a child could understand this. So keep on doing the work God has set you to do so we can continue to go strong. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Green, Elder Green. Praise God. Amen. We thank God for you and thank God for your words of encouragement as well.
Yeah,
praise God. Yes, and for your faithfulness. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to go ahead. We have about two more minutes. We're going to close the program out. We pray that you go forth and have a wonderfully blessed week.
Yes.
Have a
yes.
happy, blessed Thanksgiving. And remember to maintain that heart of a servant and that grateful heart. And always remember to give God all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful night. We love you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We got a message to encourage you and let you know that no matter what you're going through, there's still glory coming. And it's coming after this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Mm-hmm.